There's two mountains of brass, Rashi says, the sign of the great strength of these two kingdoms. It doesn't say necessarily these two kingdoms, but whatever kingdoms are coming out. And he sees four chariots leaving from the mountains. Now, the number four is a very apocalyptic number, right? Not just connected to Pesach, but the four nations especially, right? Rashi refers to them as Babel, Babylonia, Modai, Persians, Medes, Yavon, Greece, and Edom, Rome. Okay, these are the four. The Merkava, Harishona, Susim, Shchorim, black horses. The Merkava Sheni is Tussim Shchorim. First one is Tussim Adonim, red, then black. Merkava Shlishi is Tussim Levanim, then white. Merkava Rabi is Tussim Berudim Amutsim. Some say that means spotted.
That means spotted praying horses.
Okay, now what do these represent? Let's go in order. The red horses of Bava, they bled you. Caused you to bleed by building the base of Mikdash, by destroying the base of Mikdash, carrying many of you off into slavery. Now, Rashi, I'm not doing Rashi's scheme. I'm not sure Rashi needs a Yavon. Rashi, Radak, and Sadia say that Modai are the black horses and Paras are the white horses. The reason why he says that Modai are black horses is because claims that the second group of horses is the Purim story. The third group of horses is the rebuilding of the Beit Hamikdash. This, of course, is consistent with Rashi's opinion in Megillas Esther, that the story of Esther and Haman and Mordechai and Hashverosh is before, a good 20 years before the Korban, the Beit Hamikdash was rebuilt. This, I submit to you, is not corroborated by all historians, because many contemporary historians say that the Purim story was 20 to 30 years after the Beit Hamikdash was rebuilt, or at least after its after Chada in
Zechariah.
There you go. Okay. But Rashi says that the black horses represent the Persians threatening us in the Purim story. The white horses represent the good Persian kings, Darius, Cyrus, Artaxerxes. That's the white horses. But these are Simbrudim Amutsim. The last one, Rashi says, is Islam and Christianity. And they're spotted and speckled. They're all tools of God's wrath.
The black ones, those last ones are both.
Rashi says, "Lahakip Edom biYishmael," and Rashi says, "V'lo yadati malashon amutzim." I'm not sure what amutzim means. What does it say in your English? What are amutzim? Amutzim.
Where is that?
Gray. Okay. Mutsim can be like a combination of black and white. Okay, they're coming from four directions. Okay, Van Bamara Mamah, Adverbi Ma Ila Aduni, what are these four things? The Yana Malach, the Emery Lai, Ela Arba Rukhos Hashemai Nutos Nitateva Ladon Kol Ores. These are the nations coming out from the four directions of the earth to contend with God. Here are the four directions. Edom comes from the east because the sun rises and it reddens the horizon. The black is Tzafon, is north, because it's dark in the north. Lavon, white, is Ma'arav, because the border of Israel is like white sand. And Darom is spotted like the stones of the desert in the Negev. This is why these four colors are connected to the four directions in this pasuk. What it means is that Israel will be attacked from all sides, even from the sea. Okay. like it's still not open. Okay, so I think maybe we'll stop with this. A Shabbat. Let me just do one more question. A Shabbat, you see, Mashorim, you see, Meleret, Safon, Galvanim, Yasu, El Achareim, Zabrudim, Yasu, El Eretz, Ateman, Vamitim, Yasu, Vashu, Alechat, Yishalech, Baaret, Vayam, Elochu, Yisalchu, Baaret, which is Halachan, Baaret. The Zuhari himself connects the four directions with the four colors I just mentioned, okay? He connects to himself. And then he says the one that travels the longest are these Amusim. That makes sense. The fourth is always the one that's lasting longest, right? They're the ones that are still around, Ishmael and Edom. And then he woke me up and he yelled at me, the angel. Look at the ones going up north. They have consoled me, or they have caused me to be at least a little calm. Okay, his vision ends. Okay. What is the Eretz Tzafon? Eretz Tzafon is Babel. Okay. They're going out to Babel. Yinichus Rechi Eretz Tzafon. God has suppressed my anger in the north by destroying Babel.
Very bad.
The country of Babel. In other words, the Babel will still exist. The Jews are going to be living there for a long time and writing a Talmud there. But the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar and company, those guys are not long for their kingdom. What happens here is that each nation destroys the nation before them, and then that next nation causes God to have causes great suffering. Okay. Russia joins America to defeat Germany, right? And right after World War II, Russia becomes a Russia nation. Right? So too, each nation that does God's bidding by destroying the previous nation, which was very evil, then the new nation becomes evil as well. Okay, so that's how this prophecy ends. Okay, let's go on. Vayidbar Hashem el Amor, Lakoch me'eis hagola, go take from the exile, me'cheldai, u'me'eis tovia, u'me'eis yedaya, from, and these seem to be names. How do I know? Take a look at the Targum. I don't have the Targum here. The Targum to the word cheldai, tovia is tovia, yedaya is yedaya. I mean, whenever Targum Yonasan just translates the exact same word, you know it's a name. It's not Hebrew to Aramaic. It's a name. Stanley in Aramaic is going to be Stanley. Right? So it says, go take from these people. There must have been three famous people. I never heard of these guys. Right? Uvasa atzabayomahu uvasa beis Yoshia ben Tzfanya shabomi Babel. And go to the house of this man, Yoshia ben Tzfanya. All these people came from Babel. They're coming to make Aliyah now to start the Second Commonwealth. These are very important guys for you to be involved with. Now, questions abound, especially if you have it all in front of you there, like on a big page. First of all, take what? Take from the exile, from Cheldai, Tovia, Yedaya, and go to Yoshev and Tzfanya that came from Babel. Take what? All right, look at the next pasuk. Lakachta kesef ezav osisal taros. Okay, take the nedavos. The Jews have to. If the Jews are going to get a good start, the first thing you got to do is ask for donations. The Jewish thing to do, right? If we're going to make a successful go at this, we have to have money. So there, like Vayikach Korach. Remember that what the problem Rashi says with that pasuk? There too, it doesn't say what he took.
Right.
Just Vayikach Korach and a bunch of names, and that's it. And the pasuk ends. Not Ben Pelas, etc., etc. So Rashi writes, "Lakhu b'dvarim." Right? Vayikach means to make an appeal, to make words. Like Vayikach Hashem Elokim es Adam, Yinecheu b'soch Adam. Rashi says, "Lakhu b'dvarim." There, "Kichu lachem d'varim." It says in the Haftarah of Shabbat Shuvah. Right? Take words. So first of all, who are these people? Why does it say Mecheldai and then Umei Eis Tovia, Umei Eis Yedaya? What is that? And furthermore, later on in Pasuk Yedaleh, where he mentions these people again, Bataros Tiel Chelem
Ulutobia Uliadaya. Get your act straight. It wasn't Cheldai, it was Chelev. Then it says Ulchain ben Tzfanya. I thought it was Yoshia ben Tzfanya. This is just so strange.
So the symbolic names.
Right? So there indeed. These are symbolic names, and what's very interesting is that the Targum Shivim, we've discussed this Targum Shivim before, the Septuagint, right, which actually comes out of this time period. The Greeks commissioned the Targum Shivim from us. The Targum Shivim actually does translate the words. In other words, Targum here just calls them names. Galdai is Galdai, Tobia is Tobia. Targum Shivim translates them as symbolic names. Now look what Zechariah says to make of the golden slipper. Bosisa ataros. The samta barosh Yeshua ben Yehudah according to the goal. You should put the ataros. So what are these ataros? Ataros usually look like and so this says kitros, crowns. To put on Yeshua Kohen Gadol. So this, according to Bava now, is a hint to think about it.
Doesn't
yeah, of course. The Kohanim wearing crowns.
Oh, okay.
Is a Kohen, and he's wearing atarot. Now, apparently, I have here some Josephus's Antiquities, a quote from there, and I have some scholars, some Jewish, some non-Jewish, who learned from this prophecy of the atarot something very important. Some, just inexplicably, the Persians turned against us. Persians were all very good to us, right? They allowed us this second commonwealth. And all of a sudden, one by one, they stopped building, allowing the building, rebuilding the Beit Mikdash. They cut up the resources. So in the Josephus' Antiquities, he says that he was aware of this crowns at this time. He said that the Jewish governors started to wear crowns. Mm-hmm. So it could be. And this is what these scholars are saying, that the Jews overstepped themselves.
Mm.
You know, the Persians, remember we did that, the Kibbutz is Soviet Gever, we learned from that Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that prophet predicted that when you return after the 70-year Golos and come back to Israel, you will do so in peace. You know, when you want to come back to a land and there are people living there, they're not going to just, you know, take kindly to you taking over, right? So, that being said, you have to, you have to assume that to come back to Israel will cause some wrath on the people living there, and you're going to have some trouble getting back. So Yirmiyahu predicted that you'll go back with permission, and we did. We had permission. We started building, but then this is the famous command at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah that talks about that the Hichmits, the Persian kings that turned bad on us. A certain drush in the Gemara, but not very compelling actually. But the Gemara does indicate that it was aware of the fact that the Persian kings turned against us at a certain time. So these scholars indicate that it's because of this prophecy, and that doesn't mean that he got it wrong. And it means that the people might have understood it wrong. He didn't say that the governor should. He said the Kohen Gadol will wear it. And he's not necessarily giving a prophecy that should happen. He's giving a prophecy that will happen. All right. V'mate lov lemor, koma Hashem shvakos lemor, hine ish tzemach shemo, and yitachtov yitzmach uvanar tzachal Hashem. Oh, we've had this already, right? Remember back in Perek Gimel? What do we call Israel? Reishis tzmichas yulaseinu. But notice what seems to be common to a lot of Nevi'im. Remember Yeshayahu's nevuah about Mashiach. V'yotza choter migeza Yishai. And it speaks of the shoot of Yishai, the branches of Yishai, the roots of Yisharashav, the roots of Yishai. Everything is a tree. Think of this week coming with Torah. This coming with Torah. Yechezkel looks at two trees, one with the name of Yehuda, one with the name of Yosef. The two trees represent the two kingdoms. This past week's Torah, the two trees that we just talked about 15 minutes ago, leading into the menorahs. Shnei b'nei ha-yitzhar, two sons of Boaz, the two Mashiach, the two kingdoms, and they all seem to be indicated by the metaphor of the tree. Right? So Tzemach, Shemo. Smicha, growing from the ground. Why not have it represented by two mountains?
Mm.
Right? Two waterfalls, the two stars, the two,
yeah,
it's all these trees. Right. So it's a growing process. It doesn't all happen at once. Right? You have to nurture it, you have to look after it. So that's what we said before, that there'll be a tzmicha. So when we say that Israel should be a racist tzmicha, that lashon comes from here. Not least of which, the bracha on Shmoneh Esrei. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, matzniach keren yishur. Esther Mach David tzmiach, but cannot show Yishur Sach, as Yishur Sach, you call him. Matzniach keren yishur. It's all from tzmiach. Okay? Got it? Okay, let's go around and be a little bit. Take away Pasuk Yom. Who is it
now? Who is now Sech of Hashem? He will build the sanctuary of God. Who is it? And he will appear his majesty of Yashav, and he'll sit the Masha Al Kiso and reign on his throne by a coin Al Kiso, and the coin will also sit on his seat, I guess on his throne as well. By Tashalom Tiyah Ben Shneim, and there'll be disposition of peace between the two of them.
All right, so let's look here at Rav Yosef Kara, okay. He says, "V'hu yivneh seichal Hashem." The king is the one responsible for the building process. "V'hu yisohod." He shall bear the glory. Kara says he will wear the crown of Malchus. "V'yashavu mashal al kiso." He will sit and rule on his throne. "V'haya kohen al kiso," and the kohen will sit on his throne. "V'atas shalom tiyeh bein shnehem," and there will finally be peace between the two. Okay, so in Maseches Midos, there is in Perek Dalet, I believe, in Maseches Midos. The book of Maseches Midos, it's a Masechta that teaches all of the Perek Gimel. Midos Perek Gimel teaches all of the instructions of how to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. So that's what Maseches Midos talks about, this section here, and the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash and these Ataros. So in Perek Gimel, Maseches Midos, it says that the Ataros were actually not won by the Kohanim, not won by the Zerubbabel and the king. They knew that would irk the ire of the Persians. Instead, what they did was they made these crowns and just hung them up in someplace in the base of Mekush. Okay. Because it says it should be a zikaron, beheichal Hashem. There you have it. Okay. So that's where you should put them. People will come from far and wide to build the and these things will all happen if you only listen to Hashem. Wow. Now, who are these Rechokim? Targum says Ne'ara Rechika, which means
in a distant
place. Okay. Let's look at the Radak on that. Radak ni goye ha'aretz. The goye mukan. The nadev lebinyan abayis. And he says, it seems that this could be fulfilled in the days of Herod. In the days of Herod, a lot of money was given by from Roman treasuries to rebuild the tremendous buildings, an amazing building. He died a young man, in his 30s. Did he go on tours all around Israel to see some of his construction, especially in Masada and Caesarea? Here's the thing, though. I want to quote you a Gemara Maseches Moed Katan on this pasuk. The Gemara does not quote this pasuk, actually quote something else. But the Gemara starts off with a strange observation in the text. In the Torah, it says that the kruvim that were placed on top of the ark, on the kaporas, were facing each other. Right? Wasn't that the way it was in Raiders, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in Shlomo Zel, the Beis Hamikdash, it says that they're facing together in the same direction. The Gemara says that when Bnei Yisrael are performing the will of God, the kruvim face each other. When they're not performing the will of God, they turn together to face the same direction. specify?
Okay, if it's a teres, it's some snagadata, some kind of midrashic answer. However, Shimshon Rafal Rosh asked this question. What were they doing wrong there? I mean, Shlomo was building the Beis HaMikdash. Seems that things were pretty good then. Right? What was wrong in Shlomo's building of the Beis HaMikdash that made the Kruvim turn from facing each other? So he gives a fascinating answer. He says because it was a shanda for the Jews that the people from Tzor had to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Jews didn't want to get their hands dirty. They didn't, the Jews were the contractors, So what here is Zechariah is saying, okay, v'chokim yavo, v'bam v'echal Hashem. You will get help. They'll be happy to help you. Right? So, I mean, what is Shimshon Rafal talking about? I have a Navi that says, people will give you help. Hi, okay, that's fine. That's the next house. That's the next place in English, Why did you have to go to Navi before then like this? All right, look, personally, I would love to have the opportunity to build up there myself and get my hands